Yes.
Yeah.
Yep.
Uh-huh.
Podcast time.
Here we are. You know what I love is I feel like you and I do that thing they teach in acting classes where you just go with whatever's in the present moment.
Always. People may think that we say, hey, what do you want to do at the top of this podcast? But we never do.
Mm-mm.
We just make some sort of sound. We look at each other's eyes and something happens.
And there we are.
And an act of creation.
It's happening right now. And I am so excited about this podcast because I have a very special guest on.
I can't wait to hear.
Her name's Natalie Roy.
Oh my goodness.
She played 2020 in the recent Match.com commercial, Opposite the Devil.
Wow. I love her.
Me too. I love staring into her eyes. She's so pretty.
Man, oh man. Well, this is like very cute. For anyone who hasn't been to our podcast before, welcome. This is who we are. This is what we do. We just like to have conversations about art and spirituality and creativity and what it's like to live your purpose on the planet and, you know, whatever else comes up. And just yesterday, well, we actually had a great weekend together. We spent so much time. We hung out. We danced in Central Park. We wandered. Mm-hmm. We just had the best time. And through the course of our fun weekend together, I was letting you in on what's been calling on my heart and what I've been doing lately. And then you very graciously said, I want to interview you about that on the podcast.
I actually freaked out, guys. I walked into Natalie's living room and she shared with me some of the things she's been working on. And I was like, what? Wait, please keep going. Let me ask you more questions. Oh my gosh. And it felt like my brain was exploding. I was like, what is this? Who are you? Why are you a spiritual master? The content you were giving me was so next level. It was so sharp. It was so good. I was like, we have to talk about this. We have to talk about this on the podcast tomorrow. This is what must happen. This is what life is asking for. So I'm really excited because I want this content. This comes from a selfish desire in me that I want you to talk about this a lot because I want to get it.
I love it. Well, so it's kind of interesting because this time last year, you and I had just landed in Bali and we had gone to Bali on this really incredible trip. And what started coming up for me during that trip was shadow work and shadow integration. And I had done shadow work before, like a la Debbie Ford and Deepak Chopra. And I had heard a lot about it and obviously had done some level of work on it before. And when we were in Bali, I started getting more present to what it is to actually like integrate that work, not just to recognize it and see it like, oh yeah, there's a part of myself that I haven't loved yet. Oh yeah, there's a part of myself I'm embarrassed of. There's a part of myself I'm ashamed of. But the work I had done to that point was really around recognizing, seeing it, and then continuing with my life. Like, okay, that's there. Cool. Try to stay out of the way while I live my life. And I found myself still really kind of addicted to just feeling good and things going my way. And I became kind of addicted to this feeling of like, how much joy can I feel? How much good can I have in my life? How much fun can I create? And yeah, all that was amazing and was available. But what was also hitting was global pandemic and my husband having to get deported and us being in immigration issues. And so all of a sudden I was having this fight with myself because what was showing up in the present moment was this duality, this stuff to integrate, these hard feelings to look at and to see what they were here to teach me. And there was still the obsession in myself to want to say, I just don't want to go there. I want to be in the present moment and I want to feel good and I want to go for a run. And at some point, I have so many wonderful mentors and teachers. And at one point, one of my teachers said, Natalie, I love that you're running. I'm so proud of you that you're running. What are you running away from? And I was like, myself. Myself is what I'm running away from. You know, I'm running away from what it might look like to not only like know what are the parts of myself that I'm ashamed of and disappointed in and feel density around, but also not just knowing those parts, but actually like bringing authentic, genuine, unconditional love to those parts. And what would that start to look like? And what came up for me is well, I'm not allowed to love those parts of myself because then I'm giving those parts of myself permission. And then what if that means I'm a bad person? What if that means I'm irresponsible? Or what if that means I'm letting myself off the hook? It's like, if I'm mean to myself and hard on myself and keep those parts at bay, doesn't that make me a better person? And I think that the exploration was, yeah, the part you're actually judging is the part of yourself that you think is actually bad.
Mm.
So you have to spend a lot of time running around the planet affirming good, trying to be good, trying to make good, trying to make other people have good or feel good, because there's really this part you're running away from that just feels bad. And what would happen if you just started being in a more intimate relationship with the part of yourself that you've labeled or judged as bad? And so that was the beginning entry point of what all this came to be. So when we were in Bali, you know, we did shadow work and we did all these things. And I just started asking the question. And I started teaching a course on resistance. And it was really interesting to see what came up in me in teaching a course about resistance, what came up in other people. And when I was complete with that course, I was like, oh, I'm just never teaching again. Like, I think I'll continue to teach my acting classes, but I think I think what came up for me is I don't know anything. Like, I have nothing to teach. Like, I have so much work to do in terms of just figuring out what's going on inside of me. I never again want to stand in front of a group of anyone and say, well, here's what I would offer to say about that, because it felt like there's just way too much work to do on myself to ever take the conversation anywhere other than inside. And so what started to happen at that point is I started working on some somatic healing. I started working with nervous system regulation. I started working with a mentor who I really have come to love so much. His name is Dr. Nima Ramani. And I know I've mentioned him on the podcast before, but he became a real mentor to me in the way that he was tough loving me. He wasn't having any kid gloves with me. He's like, hey, Natalie, here's another part of yourself you don't love, and I'm not letting you off the hook of seeing it, right? And so it became this like, ooh, that's sticky. That feels tough. And his mentor was Dr. John D. Martini, who did like some very, very incredible work around, you know, the nervous system and how we work and how we think and how we're wired and shadow integration. And so I feel like I got so exposed to all these powerhouse teachings, and then also like some of our favorites like Brené Brown. And I was just kind of slowly almost like letting all of their lessons and messages simmer inside my own body. And then as I was doing that work, what I realized is I got this audition to play 2020. And I realized in that moment, I think that every actress that goes into audition for this, myself included, is thinking, I have to play something bad, or I have to play someone bad. And there was some way that I had integrated the parts of myself that I thought were bad, that I showed up at the audition and was like, no, this is just a girl who's falling in love. Like, this is just a girl who doesn't really care that there's a pandemic, doesn't really care what's going on, doesn't really care about anyone else's experience. She can actually love her own badness, and she can love who she loves. And if that's the devil, then she loves them unapologetically. And so I think what I did at the commercial is I showed up as a girl who just let herself love all the parts of herself. And I actually believe that's why I booked it.
Mm.
And so then it ended up being this really like changing force in my life. And it became something that created a lot of visibility for me. And I thought, well, that is so interesting, because I know for sure I would never have booked it if I hadn't have done that work on myself. And I've always said, you know, whatever work I do on myself then gets translated into what we write, what we act in, how we parent. Like, it always translates as a ripple effect onto what we end up doing on the planet. But this example was so big and so clear that how my life was able to completely explode and expand by doing a certain kind of self-exploration, that then I was like, okay, well, I'll teach one more class. I'll just show up and do one more class. So then what was fun is I've just been trying to just feel out in my meditations and my practices what the next class was going to be. And you were like my guinea pig to say, hey, I think I want to talk about this and I want to talk about this. And your experience of it was so delightful to me.
I lost my marbles. I was like, what? What? I go, wait, read that again. Wait, say that one more time. So I was wondering, would you be willing to just give us like a little mini lesson, like a taste of what you were giving me last night? And I can't wait to hear it again. I have so many questions I want to ask you. You can just kind of go slow and let me absorb it.
Yes. Well, the first point of entry, there's a lot of points of entry, but the first point of entry for me was this contemplation of when I notice something about myself, am I commenting on that part of myself or am I really being with myself? So that can come in terms of like, am I judging myself? Am I saying you're not enough? You did something bad. You should have done better. Or am I watching myself in terms of giving myself praise? Like, oh, you did great. You were awesome. Am I in the position of being separate from myself, observing and giving comment on myself? Or am I in the ability to be with myself? Like nothing is good or bad. Nothing is black or white. I'm being with myself. And what is the experience to be with myself outside of judgment? And I think the first thing I discovered is I have no idea. I have no idea what it's like to be with Natalie without commenting on how Natalie's should be better or not good enough or whatever that commentary is. Like, I don't want to spend my experience of my life watching myself live this movie of my life. I want to be the lead character in the film that's experiencing it, that's in my body, that's tasting the food, that's having the experience without judgment, even without preference. Can I just allow myself to be with myself? So that's the first thing, is there becomes this split or this fracture of every single thing that happens in life, every conversation I have, every conflict I have, every job I book, every job I don't book, there becomes the fracture where I start judging the person who's living that experience, as opposed to saying, hey, Nat, I'm with you in this experience. What do you feel? What do you need? What do you want? What does this experience make you feel? Without saying to Natalie, this is a good or bad experience. How can I say, oh yeah, that hurt that person said that to you. Yeah, that makes sense. I get that. I see that. I see how that would hurt you. It makes perfect sense to me that you feel hurt right now. Cool. You don't have to change it. You don't have to get out of the hurt. You don't have to feel better. There's nothing to fix here. So the first point of entry is what would happen if we started living our life from the place where we're not observing and judging, but we're actually just meeting, being like, yeah, cool. I got you. I can see why you would feel that way. Yeah. There's nothing to do here. Mm. And I think from that place, we start to have permissions to be able to actually meet the shadows. So I think that the shadows are something that we all hear a lot about. And, you know, if you look at Carl Jung's work, he has what he calls the shadows. And there's just various people that frame this in various different ways. But the four that I've been working with, again, from my coach and mentor, Dr. Nima, is he presented these kind of four archetypes of the shadows, or these four ways of seeing the shadows. And so in the way he taught it to me was that there's the shadow and then there's the light. There's when it's unconscious and then there's when it's conscious. And this for me turned me on so much, because I was like, well, the second I'm joining myself, the second I'm with myself, the second I'm for myself, then all of my power has come back to myself. And from that place, that's where we can make anything happen. That's where I become a creator. That's where I can take something from unmanifest and make anything I want. That's pure creative potential. And so I was like, oh, I see how when I'm judging myself or separate from myself, I also separate from my power. But I see that when I'm completely with myself, almost like I'm holding hands with myself, being like, yeah, what do you want to do today? What's interesting to you? How do you want to play? How do you want to express yourself? And I don't have any judgment on what that little voice inside me says they want to do. I just go, yeah, I'm here for you. Let's do this. Once I'm in that position, I've reclaimed my power, and now I can harness that power consciously instead of unconsciously. So Carl Jung talks a lot about whatever we don't acknowledge will run our lives unconsciously until we bring it conscious. And so, the way this, that I was thinking about these kind of shadows is like, oh, when it's unconscious, when I'm not in my power, this is what it looks like. But when I bring my power and my consciousness to it, this is what it can look like. Oh, cool. Amazing. So the four that I'm using for the purpose of like this upcoming course that I'm working on and teaching is you are either in the prostitute energy, which is really like the scarcity energy. It's really the energy of, I don't know my value and my worth. So I have to find other people to tell me what that is, or find other circumstances to prove that. And that's when it's unconscious. And then when you can bring your power and consciousness to it, you become the lover. And the lover is like the invitation of like, oh, I know what my value is. Come over here and enjoy it with me, right? So it's that energy of like, I don't have it inside me. I need to get it outside of me. Or the energy of, no, I am the energy and I'm here to give it. And there's enough for everyone, right? So yeah, if that job doesn't come my way, it's okay because I'm the energy that attracted that in the first place. So like, there can be more. So that one really comes down to like value and scarcity. And then as we continue along the path, we move into what is the child energy, or what is the, I kind of want to call it like the sovereign energy, or like we could also think of it as like the king or the queen energy. So the, in the child energy, we're really looking at, that's the part that like can't take responsibility and doesn't want to take responsibility. It's like, It's the energy in me that says it's too hard. I'm too overwhelmed. It's too much. And so it's the energy in me that's always looking for the reason why I don't have to. And there's always a reason why I don't have to, always. And I have permission to feel that way. And like, if I join myself and like really be with myself, there's the part of me that goes, maybe I don't want to do it. And that's okay. And then the kind of like sovereign energy is the one that says, well, no matter how hard it is, I'm just here to do what I'm here to do, and I'm going to find a way to do it. So I'm not invested in how hard it might be or how many obstacles might be on the way. I'm just here to be in my sovereign energy. I'm here to express myself in sovereign energy. So yeah, as a king or queen, I make a lot of hard decisions. I do a lot of hard things, but I'm not consumed by the story of how hard it is. I'm consumed by the energy that I'm bringing to doing the thing no matter what. And then as we move on, we get into, and this is the place where I would kind of say like was my home base for most of my life, is the victim energy or the warrior energy. And the victim is really the one who just, it's like everything in life happens to me. Like no matter what I do, it's not enough. No matter what I do, I'm not enough. It's really that like core belief of not enoughness that continues to get reinforced through other people and other situations. It's almost this lonely, isolated place where it feels like you against the world or the world against you. And so it's that feeling of no matter what I do or how hard I show up, I feel like energy doesn't come back to me. It's very much like in that martyrdom energy. And then the warrior energy is again, the kind of energy that comes along and says, yeah, but who I am inside has so much to give. I don't need it from outside. And like, I'm here to, no matter how hard it gets or no matter what illusion shows up in my path, I'm just here to say, how do I bring the energy of like, I'm so connected to who I came to be on the planet. I'm so connected to what my purpose is. I'm so connected to what my vision is that, yeah, I just get that there's going to be a lot of things that come up along the way that are hard. And I just continue to choose to put my energy and my investment into who I came to be and not how I feel like the world is hindering me from being that. And then in the last archetype, we talk about the saboteur energy. And I know anyone who's ever been creative in any way knows this one really well, and the magician energy. And this one is really about time and about being flexible with time. So the saboteur never has enough time or is always procrastinating or can't get it done or can't get it together. And the magician is the one who can like collapse time and play with time. The magician, and we've all known this when we're in that magician energy, it's like, this came out of nowhere. This person came out of nowhere. This offer came out of nowhere. Like, I didn't do anything to make that. It's like, no, you don't do anything to make it happen. It happens by who you're being because you're exuding the energy of like, time is flexible to me. Time is flexible to who I am being. That's magic. That's the alchemy. I can take anything that's happening and I can make gold out of it. Where the saboteur is like, even if I have gold, I'm gonna think it's something that's not gold.
I totally identify with that. And I can watch both of those energies in me. And I've had times where I feel that voice come up inside of me that goes, oh, I don't have enough time to get all this done. And then another voice inside of me comes up and says, are you sure about that? Do you know? Yeah. Let's see what might happen here. And it's really interesting to watch how time can rearrange.
Yeah.
Certain things don't take as long as you thought they were going to, when other things jump forward. And I love the language that you're using, how it puts it all back into our creative power.
Yeah.
And this knowledge that we are far more wondrous than we ever give ourselves credit for.
Yeah. I think that's been the thing that was the biggest surprise to me in this exploration, is I thought integrating and understanding the parts of myself that lived in shadow was taking me out of my wonder. But actually integrating those parts, like when I see the part of myself that wants to waste time, I know it's not really about wasting time. I know it's about a fear. Mm-hmm. And so if I can meet the little part in myself that's like, hey, what are you afraid of? Then she actually knows how to get to the wonder. She actually has the keys to it. So if she's afraid and she's withholding, then it's because there's something that needs my attention. And the second I give it my attention, the wonder opens back up, because there's nothing to solve or nothing to do. It's just the part in ourselves that's like, I just feel scared because I feel like you abandoned me. Like, mm-hmm. I feel like you left and now I'm holding the key. I'm like a little kid, the kid in me that's like holding the keys to my greatness, which I totally believe she does. Every like great acting instinct I've ever had has come from like someplace inside myself that just, this like little, almost like nymph-like, childlike impulse. Do this. Hey, what if you did that? And I'm like, wait, that doesn't make sense. And it's always like the perfect impulse, right? So I feel like there's this part inside myself that is so magic and has so much wisdom. The part that was like pre all the conditioning of who I'm supposed to be and how I'm supposed to act in the world and how I'm supposed to make people happy. There's a part in me that's so undaunted and untethered by all of that. And that place is so pure. But if I keep leaving that part to go make money or to go make someone happy or, you know, to go be who I think I'm supposed to be on the planet, then that part is going to say, well, I don't feel safe to give you the magic. I remember you and I were in Paris and we were talking to a healer shaman kind of person that you met randomly at dinner. And she said, Natalie, what I'm hearing from like the inner you is like, I give you gold and you give it to pigs. And I didn't know what that meant until I continued doing the work of like, oh yeah, every time I kind of connect with myself and I'm like, I'm here for you. There's the part of myself that goes, you're full of shit. You're connecting with me because you're trying to get something. You're connecting with me because this is transactional. You want a better career. You want more money in your bank account. That's why you're connecting with me. And you know that I know how to do it. But until you're willing to like really connect with me on like a real unconditionally loving level, then yeah, I will give you the world. I will give you the keys to the kingdom because I have them for you. But I'm not going to give you the keys to the kingdom if you're going to just go out and hustle and overwork and not actually understand the value of what I've given you.
Ooh, that reminds me of the other day you and I were in Central Park sitting on a rock and you talked to me about rebuilding trust with your inner child.
Yeah. Yeah, that I feel like when we were thinking about what our words of the year were going to be, and I always like to have like some flashy, amazing word that feels like it's going to, like, I want, this is the year of miracles, or like, you know, this is the year of whatever. I always want something like big and grandiose. And my word for the year, as I was contemplating it, kept being within. And I was like, well, that doesn't sound very exciting, but it's like the point of the word is, can I make my inner reality the only priority? Can I make like what's going on inside of me, what the little nuance of what I'm feeling, can I get so interested in going within that the outer noise and the outer circumstances and the outer praise, the outer fame, the outer money, the outer whatever become byproducts of my relationship to me within myself.
Yes.
And that takes building trust, because many, many, many times over the years when I've gone in to spend time with myself, it's to get myself out of pain.
Mm.
I'm in so much pain and someone said I should do inner child work. So like, I'll do it so I get out of pain. And what my inner child really wanted was like, no, I want permission to have my pain. And part of my pain is that you've abandoned me. And I want permission to feel my pain. And I just want you to sit with me while I feel it.
And then you become the present and loving adult who can be with the child no matter what she's feeling or experiencing.
Yeah.
In joy, in pain. I love what you talk about, not judging, but joining.
Mm.
And it's really interesting when we think it's like, if we're not doing that for the little child inside of us, if we're judging that part of us, then we start to do that in the outer world too.
Yeah. Right? Like whatever, I remember Dr. Nima talking to me about this once. He said, however you feel treated by others is replicative of how your inner child feels you treat them.
Ooh, mic drop. Oh.
So if I feel Kristen treats me really impatiently, I picked the thing that absolutely would be untrue about you. then it's like, rather than saying I have to go talk to Kristen and find a way to get Kristen to treat me better, I have to say, well, it's only wounding as a pointing to, oh, how do I treat my inner self impatiently? And once I heal that, then that behavior is no longer normalized inside my body. So then when it shows up outside of me, like if you were impatient with me, it would just be a full stop. It would be like, oh, that actually crosses a boundary for me because that behavior isn't allowed in my body.
Mm.
But because I've allowed it, because that's how I treat myself, it becomes normalized enough that other people can treat me that way. So what we often do as a way to kind of project and not deal with ourselves is we make it about the other person. Well, it's the other person being impatient. It's the other person doing that. And then we think the problem that we have to solve is the dynamic between the other person. But it becomes a healing, like, oh my gosh, it becomes a moment when I can look at you and say, oh my gosh, thank you for having been impatient with me. If it wasn't for that, I don't know if I would have noticed that I was doing that to myself, and I wouldn't have been able to heal that in myself. And now that I did, it's almost like a repellent energy that if anyone did start to treat me like that, it would just be the boundary that it wouldn't happen anymore. Or if it started to happen, there would be the part in me that would repel it and just say, oh, hey, I actually, that doesn't feel good to me, because that is no longer part of the stitches of my interior.
What would you say to someone who's like, oh, okay, I can recognize that I've been abandoning that part of myself for a long time, and I don't even know where to start. I just know that whatever's been going on in my inner world, I'm not plugged in. I have been so chasing money, job, partners, all the other approval from others. I've been so out in the outer world. How do I even start to go back in? Like, what, show me.
I mean, I think that what would come up for me is like, I'm so excited for you that you just had that awareness, because like, well done. Like now, you know, because when it's a blind spot, when you can't see it, when, if I said, hey, you know, Kristen, maybe there's something running unconscious, and you go, no, that's not true for me at all, then that's when it gets tricky, right? It's like when someone points something out to you that you don't want to see and you get defensive, or you try to convince them that they're wrong. That's when it's running unconsciously. That's when it's in the basement running your life. When you can say, oh, wow, I have abandoned myself. I have neglected myself. I have made all the outer stuff way more important. The second you see it, for me, it's like your little inner child goes, oh, finally. And like already it's like such a breath of fresh air in your body, just like the seeing of that. And then I would say, you know, in my case, when I had that revelation, when I saw it in myself, I like immediately was like, what coach or mentor do I know that can help hold my hand through this? Because I know myself, I know my habit will be to continue to self-abandon. And so I wanted to have someone in my corner who would be like, oh, hey, Nat, you're abandoning again. And it's totally okay. It's not a big deal at all. But like, I'm just going to point it out to you so you can go back in. Right. So that was how I decided to take it. But I also think there's just a universe where you can say, how can I create a structure inside of myself, inside of my life, that when I notice, I just start taking a contrary action. Mm. And that contrary action can really look like anything. It can really look like one that I like to play with is just putting my hand on my heart. And wherever I am, whatever I'm doing, I could be on the subway, I could be in the middle of doing an audition tape, putting my hand on my heart and saying, I'm here and I'm listening. I'm here and I'm listening. And what I have found in my own case is that I have such an amazing, strong-willed, opinionated inner self who was very petulant and very stubborn with me. So when I'm like, I'm here and I'm listening, they would respond, F you, like, because they didn't trust me. And I had to go, yeah, she's allowed to be mad at me as long as she wants. Mm. I abandoned her for a good long time. Mm. And she's just because I'm like, oh, I would like to have a relationship with you now, doesn't mean she has to agree with me. So for me, I would say, sometimes go to my coach and say, I stopped. I said I was listening and I didn't hear anything. And I kind of felt agitated that I didn't hear anything. And it's like, yeah, but you've been in an abusive long distance relationship for a long time. So you might connect or try to connect and you might not hear anything or feel anything for some time. But the building of the trust is to say, I'm willing to take the, as yoga would call it, the tapas or the contrary action. I'm just willing to take the contrary action, not to get a result, but to take it for the sake of proving trust to myself, to mm-hmm. begin proving that I am trustworthy enough to follow through with reconnection, even if it gets me nothing. Mm-hmm. And that was a really hard thing for me to work through because I'm very achievement-based. I love a result. I love an A+ on a test. I love cleaning because I can put in action and then see the fruits of the action, right? I love running because I can get the runner's high after. It's like, I like to do things where there's a result that comes after the doing of it. So for my ego, what was an important thing to dismantle was, are you willing to show up even if nothing happens? Are you willing to just say, I'm going to be here with myself even if it doesn't result in anything? And I had to spend months doing that of just, I'm here and I'm listening. And sometimes I would connect with my inner life and I would actually notice myself judging her.
Ooh.
And so, for example, I started, you know, with Dr. Nima doing a lot of inner child work, and I could connect to like the 4-year-old in myself and I could really see her innocence and see how magical she was. And I really liked her. And then there was a time when I was connecting with like college age Natalie, and I was looking at her and I could feel myself being like, she's kind of overweight. Yeah. She's not cool. Yeah. I hate how, what a people pleaser she is. Oh, she's so ruled by what everyone else thinks about her. Oh, I wanted her to go to theater school and she didn't. She was such a chicken. And I could see myself and I was like, oh, well, no wonder when I say I'm here and I'm listening, they're like, go away. That's not actually how you feel. You're trying to do the spiritual bypass version of this. And so as soon as I could find the part in myself that I was still deeply judging, then it was like, oh, I really have to connect with that 18-year-old Natalie. And I realized that I had so much judgment about choices that she had made and who she didn't become that I had wanted her to become. And it took a lot of connecting and reconnecting to get to the heart of her, which was, if not for her being exactly as she was, I would never be who I am today. And like everything she did was so divine. And she knew so much more than I do. And she was so much braver than I am. And she was 18 and scared and still put one foot in front of the other. And like, I can now look at her with like so much awe and reverence, but it took a lot of time to get through the judgment. And a lot of me working through the judgment was me justifying why I had a right to judge her. Well, look at her. She's 40 pounds bigger than me. It's like, well, Natalie, what was underneath that? What was going on for her? What, like, and it really took a long time for me to say, oh, actually the sicker one is the me now that's so obsessed with having to be small. Like, she actually had a lot more wisdom than I do. And so once I kind of started seeing the reverse and I started seeing how this little 18-year-old version of myself actually was magic and actually was the survivor of things that blow my mind and the innovator of things and, you know, just the vision she was holding, even when nothing in her life looked like that. Like, yeah, it's easy for me to hold the vision of my life now as someone who, you know, lives in New York and has fabulous friends and a fabulous life. She held that vision when there was no proof.
Mm.
And she knew. And so when I can really see how brave she was, it's like one of the lines Nima always says to me is, just tell her it's all because of her, because it is. And so I kind of get to bring her into my life on a daily basis and go, yeah, this is because of you. Like, look what you did. Look what you made. Like, thank you. And so the exploration of going into yourself can look, you know, a lot of different ways, but it's really, for me, comes always back down to the, am I judging or am I being with? Am I judging or am I joining?
So beautiful. I just love your word for the year of within and like reteaching ourselves how to come back into our insides.
Mm.
And how, when you do, then you're home. It's right there for you.
Yeah.
I wanted to ask you, do you love all the sirens?
New York is talking to us.
They're just saying, this is important. This is important. you've called your course Accessing Magic.
Yeah.
Title. And tell me, by the way, friends, I think I'm taking this class. I'm like signing up. I'm so into this class. So why Accessing Magic and what can I expect?
I love it. So Accessing Magic, because I just have felt in this exploration that things have happened in my life that were so magical that you cannot put any kind of like logic or reality even behind. Like, it's been so incredible to see the life changing magic of shifting my perception, that literally I am a magic alchemist and I keep forgetting. And so for me, this is a 6-week course where we go through all the archetypes. You're going to meet your archetypes. You're going to see who they actually are. Like, who's the saboteur in you? Who's the lover in you? And then that gives you the opportunity at every moment where there's a misperception or a misalignment with perception. Like, there's a clear moment where you get to decide who you're going to be. You get to decide to step into your magician energy. And once we get that muscle strong over the 6 weeks of like, oh, I can see how I usually, you know, choose this way, and I'm just taking the contrary action to choose this way, then over the course of 6 weeks, for me, you become a magician, because you're like, wait, I have, my perception is my magic wand. And at any moment, I can actually tune it this way. I can create, I can do this, I can do, yes. And so you get enough time to kind of practice it that, for me, I feel like there's this real muscle built around really stepping into your pure creative force potential, which for me is magician energy. We take something completely unmanifest and we bring it into manifestation. So the way the course is designed is, you know, we do live classes. There's also meditations and visualizations and guidings where, you know, you are meeting this energy in yourself and getting to understand it, and also really going in, the emphasis on really going in. And then there's also like weekly Q&A sessions where we can dive deeper into what's coming up and what your habits are and starting to break some of those habits. And so that's the format. So I'm going to start on, it's going to be on Tuesday nights. It starts on January 19th. And I was so excited when the little birdie Kristen said she might even show up.
Oh my gosh. I'm like, you guys, I was like reading her material. The wisdom in it was blowing my brains out. It was so deep. It was so potent. And it felt next level. It felt like, oh, this is, yes, this direction, more of this. I want to embody that wisdom. I wanted to like hold it. Will you just read me one of your slides that has like one of those, you know how you have one of those?
Oh, yeah.
And while you're picking the right one, I also, when you were talking about the name of the course, it made me think of A Course in Miracles, when they define a miracle as a shift in perception, and that so many of our perceptions are so ingrained, we don't actually realize they're running us. And that is the unconscious, right? Those are those unconscious creations, those programs that are running us that we cannot see. Yeah. And so, as you said, as we can shine the light on what those programs are that have been running us all this time that have been unconscious, that's how we transform. And yeah, it's really interesting, as storytellers, all of story is how and why life changes.
Mm.
And so as we go deeper into ourselves and we understand how and why we change or can change, we start to really understand our story and the stories we're able to tell.
Oh, so good. So good. Yeah, I was, one of the things that I read to you, this is one of the ones that you liked, so that's why I drew it up. So this was about, we often have this feeling of trying to like get rid of the pain, or like if you're sick, you try to like get rid of the sickness, you try to get rid of the symptom. So one of the new practices that I was saying, let's try this on as one of our new practices to become a magician, is I will no longer try to eliminate my pain or symptoms, and I will see that these symptoms or this pain is actually waking me up to a perception that is making me sick.
Oh, I love it so much.
So the symptom is actually the giant gift, because there is a perception in me that caused the symptom. If not for the symptom, I don't heal the perception because I don't know it's there. The symptom shows up and I'm like, oh, I have a sick perception. Once I heal the perception, the symptom goes away, but then I'm free of it. And that's being a magician.
Thank you. Thank you so much. Thank you for your wisdom. Thank you for the work that you do on yourself. So then you get to share all these juicy nuggets.
Oh, I was so determined I wasn't going to share any of it. I was so determined that I was going to move to Bali and just integrate and live on a mountain.
we'll do that next year. Next year. We'll
yes. Uh-huh. But no, it really is. It's one of those things where, you know, I'm just, again, I want to like reference like so many teachers and healers, like the Rob Bells and the Elizabeth Gilberts and the Brené Browns and the Byron Katies and Eckhart Tolle and Dr. Nima Ramani and Dr. John DeMartini and Dr. Amber Rochelle. I mean, there's been these incredible presences in my life over this year of COVID, over this year of the pandemic, that I spent more time with them than even with myself. And so now it feels like the true integration and honoring of all of these teachers and all of my own inner life is to, you know, it's like you don't know it if your life doesn't show it. And so I think that part of my knowing this is the course that I want to teach myself. This is what I want to integrate in myself. I want to solidify this in my own bones and in my own body. And I know the only way to do it is in community. I know the only way to do it is if we do it together and we look in each other's eyes and say, yeah, I do that too. And I give you permission and I don't judge you when I see it in you. And so that helps me not judge it in me, and it makes the journey go further faster.
Thank you so much, Natalie. This is amazing. Now, how do people get a hold of you and sign up for this amazing class that's going to change their life?
How fun. Well, if you want, I think I have 5 spots left. So if you want one of them, you can email me. It's my name, NatalieLynnRoy@gmail.com. It's N-A-T-A-L-I-E, Lynn, L-Y-N-N. Roy, R-O-Y @gmail.com. And yeah, if you shoot me an email, I'll send you all the information. And if you feel called, if you feel triggered, that's probably the calling too. But yeah, if you feel called, I would love to and be honored to walk this path with you as I'm learning imperfectly to walk it.
Oh, well, thank you for the learning that you do. Thank you for the magic that you are as your best friend. I love just getting to get the radiance. It's like the sun rays that bounce off of you from your magic.
Oh, well, thank you for your enthusiasm. You gave me a lot of permission. It feels vulnerable to do this work. And you gave me a lot of inspiration and courage too. So thank you.
That's my joy. All right, friends, you heard it here. And after you take Natalie's class, I cannot wait to get your thank you note. You can address it to Kristen Henge. We love you. Have an amazing week. And bye.
Thank you so much for listening. We love to feel like we have friends all over the world in you who are committed to doing their dream on the planet.
And if you liked this podcast and you want to find out more about what we're doing or who we are, our pop-up classes, our online classes, you can check all of that out at thecreateseries.com.
And if you want to be part of our Facebook community, you can go to the Create Community page. That's C.R.E.A.T.
Loved this podcast, why not share it with a friend?